Chapter 35. Crankshafts, balance shafts, and bearings. Crankshaft. Purpose and function: power from expanding gases in the combustion chamber is delivered to the crankshaft through the piston, piston pin, and connecting rod. The connecting rods and their bearings are attached to a bearing journal on the crank throw. The crank throw is offset from the crankshaft centerline. The distance between the centerline of the connecting rod bearing journal and the centerline of the crankshaft main bearing journal determines the stroke of the engine. The engine stroke is calculated by multiplying the distance between the two centerlines by 2. The combustion force is applied to the crank throw after the crankshaft has moved past top center. This produces the turning effort or torque, which rotates the crankshaft. The crankshaft rotates on the main bearings. These bearings are split in half so that they can be assembled around the crankshaft main bearing journals. The crankshaft includes the following parts: the main bearing journals, rod bearing journals, crankshaft throws, counterweights, the front snout, flywheel flange, keyways, and the oil passages. Refer to Figure 35.1, typical crankshaft with main journals that are supported by main bearings in the block. Rod journals are offset from the crankshaft center line. Refer to Figure 35.2. The crankshaft rotates on main bearings. Longitudinal, or end-to-end, movement is controlled by the thrust bearing. Main bearing journals: the crankshaft rotates in the cylinder block supported on main bearings. See Figure 35.2. The main bearings support the crankshaft and allow it to rotate easily without excessive wear. The number of cylinders usually determines the number of main bearings. Four-cylinder engines and V8 engines usually have 5 main bearings. Inline six-cylinder engines usually have 7 main bearings. V6 engines normally have only 4 main bearings. The crankshaft also must be able to absorb loads applied longitudinally, or end-to-end, thrust loads from the clutch on a manual transmission vehicle, or the torque converter on a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission. Thrust loads are forces that push and pull the crankshaft forward and rearward in the engine block. A thrust bearing supports these loads and maintains the front-to-rear position of the crankshaft in the block. See Figure 35.3. The thrust surface on many engines is usually located at the middle or one of the end main bearings. On most engines, the bearing insert for the main bearing is equipped with thrust bearing flanges that ride against the thrust surface. Rod bearing journals: the rod bearing journals, also called crank pins, are offset from the center line of the crank. Insert type bearings fit between the big end of the connecting rod and the crank pin of the crankshaft. The crankshaft throw distance that measures one half of the stroke has a direct relationship to the displacement of the engine. Engine stroke is equal to twice the leverage distance or 2 times the length of the crankshaft throw. See Figure 35.4. Refer to Figure 35.3. A ground surface on one of the crankshaft cheeks next to a main bearing supports thrust loads on the crank. Surface finish: all crankshaft journals are ground to a very smooth finish. Surface finish is measured in micro inches, and the smaller the number, the smoother the surface. The typical specification for main and rod crankshaft journals is between 10 and 20 roughness average, known as RA. This very smooth surface finish is achieved by polishing the crank journals after the grinding operation. Journal hardness: to improve wear resistance, some manufacturers harden the crankshaft journals. Methods used to harden the crankshaft journals include case hardening, where only the outer portion of the surface is hardened. Case hardening involves heating the crankshaft and adding carbon to the journals, where it causes the outer surface to become harder than the rest of the crankshaft. If the entire crankshaft was hardened, it would become too brittle to absorb the torsional stresses of normal engine operation. Nitriding, where the crankshaft is heated to about 1000 degrees Fahrenheit, or 540 degrees Celsius, in a furnace filled with ammonia gas, and then allowed to cool. The process adds nitrogen, from the ammonia, into the surface of the metal, thus forming hard nitrides in the surface of the crankshaft to a depth of about 0.007 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters. Tuft riding, another variation of this process, involves heating the crankshaft in a molten cyanide salt bath. Tuft riding is a trade name of General Motors. Refer to Figure 35.4. The distance from the crank pin centerline to the centerline of the crankshaft determines the stroke, which is the leverage available to turn the crankshaft. Crankshaft construction. Forged crankshafts used in high production automotive engines may be either forged or cast. Forged crankshafts are stronger than the cast crankshaft, but they are more expensive. Forged crankshafts may have a wide separation line. The wide separation line is the result of a grinding process to remove the metal that was extruded from the forging die during the forging process. See Figure 35.5. Most high-performance forged crankshafts are made from SAE-4340 or a similar type of steel. The crankshaft is formed from a hot steel billet through the use of a series of forging dies. Each die changes the shape of the billet slightly. The crankshaft blank is finally formed with the last die. The blanks are then machined to finish the crankshaft. Forging makes a very dense, tough crankshaft with the metal's grain structure running parallel to the principal direction of stress. Two methods are used to forge crankshafts. One method is to forge the crankshaft in place. This is followed by straightening. The forging in place method is primarily used with forged 4- and 6-cylinder crankshafts. A second method is to forge the crankshaft in a single plane. It is then twisted in the main bearing journal to index the throws at the desired angles. Most newer crankshafts are not twisted. Refer to Figure 35.5, wide separation lines of a forged crankshaft. Cast crankshafts, casting materials and techniques have improved cast crankshaft quality so that cast crankshafts are used in most production automotive engines. Automotive crankshafts may be cast in steel, nodular iron, or malleable iron. Advantages of a cast crankshaft are as follows. Crankshaft material and machining costs are less than they are with forging. The reason is that the crankshaft can be made close to the required shape and size, including all complicated counterweights. The only machining required on a carefully designed cast crankshaft is the grinding of bearing journal surfaces and the finishing of front and rear drive ends. Metal grain structure in the cast crankshaft is uniform and random throughout, therefore, the shaft is able to handle loads from all directions. Counterweights on cast crankshafts are slightly larger than counterweights on a forged crankshaft, because the cast shaft metal is less dense and therefore somewhat lighter. The narrow mold parting surface lines can be seen on the cast crankshaft in Figure 35.6. Billet crankshafts. A billet crankshaft is machined from a solid piece of forged steel called a billet. This solid piece of steel, usually SAE-4340, is machined through several operations to create a finished crankshaft. The advantages of a billet crankshaft include a uniform grain structure created by the forging process, and are stiff, strong, and very durable. The disadvantage is the high cost. Billet crankshafts tend to be very expensive because of the large amount of material removed during the machining process, the high material cost, and the additional heat treatment required. See Figure 35.7. Refer to Figure 35.6, cast crankshaft showing the bearing journal overlap and a straight, narrow cast mold parting line. The amount of overlap determines the strength of the crankshaft. Refer to Figure 35.7, a billet crankshaft showing how it is machined from a solid chunk of steel, usually 4340 steel, at the right and the finished crankshaft on the left. Crankshaft oiling holes. Purpose and function: the crankshaft is drilled to allow oil from the main bearing oil groove to be directed to the connecting rod bearings. See Figure 35.8. The oil on the bearings forms a hydrodynamic oil film to support bearing loads. Some of the oil may be sprayed out through a spit or bleed hole in the connecting rod. The rest of the oil leaks from the edges of the bearing. It is thrown from the bearing against the inside surfaces of the engine. Some of the oil that is thrown from the crankshaft bearings will land on the camshaft to lubricate the lobes. As part of the throw-off, oil splashes on the cylinder wall to lubricate the piston and rings. Stress tends to concentrate at oil holes drilled through the crankshaft journals. These holes are usually located where the crankshaft loads and stresses are the lowest. The edges of the oil holes are carefully chamfered to relieve as much stress concentration as possible. Chamfered oil holes are shown in Figure 35.9. Refer to Figure 35.8, crankshafts sawed in half, showing drilled oil passages between the main and rod bearing journals. Refer to Figure 35.9, typical chamfered hole in a crankshaft bearing journal. Engine crankshaft types. V8 engine arrangement. The V8 engine has 4 inline cylinders in each of the two blocks that are placed at a 90-degree angle to each other. Each group of 4 inline cylinders is called a bank. The crankshaft for the V8 engine has 4 throws. The connecting rods from 2 cylinders are connected to each throw, one from each bank. This arrangement results in a balanced condition. The V8 engine crankshaft has 2 planes, so there is 1 throw every 90 degrees. A plane is a flat surface that cuts through the part. These planes could be seen if the crankshaft were cut lengthwise through the center of the main bearing and crank pin journals. Looking at the front of the crankshaft, the first throw is at 360 degrees, up. The second throw is at 90 degrees, to the right. The third throw is at 270 degrees, to the left. The fourth throw is at 180 degrees, down. In operation with this arrangement, one piston reaches top center at each 90 degrees of crankshaft rotation so that the engine operates smoothly with even firing at each 90 degrees of crankshaft rotation. Four-cylinder engine crankshafts. The crankshaft used on four-cylinder inline engines has four throws on a single plane. There is usually a main bearing journal between each throw, making it a five main bearing crankshaft. Pistons also move as pairs in this engine. Pistons in cylinders 1 and 4 move together, and pistons 2 and 3 move together. Each piston in a pair is 360 degrees out of phase with the other piston in the 720 degree four-stroke cycle. With this arrangement, the four-cylinder inline engine fires one cylinder at each 180 degrees of crankshaft rotation. A four-cylinder opposed, or flat, engine and a 90-degree V4 engine have crankshafts that look like that of the four-cylinder inline engine. Five-cylinder engine crankshafts. The inline five-cylinder engine has a five-throw crankshaft with one throw at each 72 degrees. Six main bearings are used on this crankshaft. The piston in one cylinder reaches top center at each 144 degrees of crankshaft rotation. Dynamic balancing has been one of the major problems with this engine design, yet the vibration was satisfactorily dampened and isolated on both the Audi and Acura five-cylinder engines. Frequently asked question. What does a cross-drilled crankshaft mean? A cross-drilled crankshaft means that there are two, instead of only one, oil hole leading from the main bearing journal to the rod bearing journal. Oil is supplied to the main bearing journals through oil galleries in the block. A cross-drilled crankshaft has two outlet holes for oil to reach the drilled passage that supplies oil to the rod journal. See Figure 3510. Figure 3510, a cross-drilled crankshaft is used on some production engines and is a common racing modification. Case study. The mysterious engine vibration. A Buick 3.8-liter, V6 engine vibrated the whole car after a new short block had been installed. The technician who had installed the replacement engine did all of the following. Number 1. Checked the spark plugs. Number 2. Checked the spark plug wires. Number 3. Disconnected the torque converter from the flex plate, or drive plate, to eliminate the possibility of a torque converter or automatic transmission pump problem. Number 4. Removed all accessory drive belts one at a time. Yet the vibration still existed. Another technician checked the engine mounts and found that the left, or driver's side, engine mount was out of location, ripped, and cocked. The transmission mount was also defective. After the technician replaced both mounts and made certain that all mounts were properly set, the vibration was eliminated. The summary. The complaint. Vehicle vibrated after a replacement engine block was installed. The cause, defective engine and transmission mounts. The correction, both mounts were replaced, which corrected the vibration. Three-cylinder engine crankshafts. A three-cylinder engine uses a 120-degree three-throw crankshaft with four main bearings. This engine requires a balancing shaft that turns at crankshaft speed, but in the opposite direction, to reduce the vibration to an acceptable level. Inline six-cylinder engine crankshaft. Inline six-cylinder engine crankshafts ride on four or seven main bearings and use six crank throws in three planes 120 degrees apart. An inline six-cylinder is in perfect primary and secondary balance. 90-degree V6 engine crankshafts. The crank throws for an even firing V6 engine are split, making separate crank bins for each cylinder. The split throw can be seen in Figure 3511. This angle between the crank bins on the crankshaft throws is called a splay angle. A flange was left between the split crank pin journals. This provides a continuous fillet or edge for machining and grinding operations. It also provides a normal flange for the rod and bearing. This flange between the splayed crank pin journals is sometimes called a flying web. 60-degree V6 engine crankshafts. The 60-degree V6 engine is similar to the even-firing 90-degree V6 engine. The adjacent pairs of crank bins on the crankshaft used in the 60-degree V6 engine have a splay angle of 60 degrees. The crankshaft of the 60-degree V6 engine also uses four main bearings. Refer to Figure 3511. A splayed crankshaft design is used to create an even-firing 90-degree V6. Counterweights. Purpose and function. Crankshafts are balanced by counterweights, which are cast, forged, or machined as part of the crankshaft. A crankshaft that has counterweights on both sides of each connecting rod journal is called fully counterweighted. See Figure 3512. A fully counterweighted crankshaft is the smoothest running and most durable design, but it is also the heaviest and most expensive to manufacture. Most vehicle manufacturers do not use fully counterweighted crankshafts in an effort to lighten the rotating mass of the engine. An engine with a light crankshaft allows the engine to accelerate quicker. Even crankshafts that are not fully counterweighted are still balanced. Refer to Figure 35.12, a fully counterweighted four-cylinder crankshaft. Frequently asked question. What is an offset crankshaft? To reduce side loads, some vehicle manufacturers offset the crankshaft from center. For example, if an engine rotates clockwise as viewed from the front, the crankshaft may be offset to the left to reduce the angle of the connecting rod during the power stroke. See Figure 35.13. The offset usually varies from 1/16th to half of an inch, depending on make and model. Many inline four-cylinder engines used in hybrid electric vehicles use an offset crankshaft. Refer to Figure 35.13, the crank throw is halfway down on the power stroke. The piston on the left without an offset crankshaft has a sharper angle than the engine on the right with an offset crankshaft. Refer to Figure 35.14, a crankshaft broken as a result of using the wrong torsional vibration damper. Vibration damage: each time combustion occurs, the force deflects the crankshaft as it transfers torque to the output shaft. This deflection occurs in two ways: to bend the shaft sideways and to twist the shaft in torsion. The crankshaft must be rigid enough to keep the deflection forces to a minimum. Crankshaft deflections are directly related to the operating roughness of an engine. When back and forth deflections occur at the same vibration frequency, or number of vibrations per second, as that of another engine part, the parts will vibrate together. When this happens, the parts are said to resonate. These vibrations may become great enough to reach the audible level, producing a thumping sound. If this type of vibration continues, the crankshaft may fail. See Figure 35.14. Harmful crankshaft twisting vibrations are dampened with a torsional vibration damper. It is also called a harmonic balancer. This damper or balancer usually consists of a cast iron inertia ring mounted to a cast iron hub with an elastomer sleeve. Note: push on the rubber, elastomer sleeve, of the vibration damper with your fingers or a pencil. If the rubber does not spring back, replace the damper. Elastomers are actually synthetic, rubber-like materials. The inertia ring size is selected to control the amplitude of the crankshaft vibrations for each specific engine model. See Figure 35.15. Tech tip: high engine speeds require high-performance parts. Do not go racing with stock parts. A stock harmonic balancer can come apart and the resulting vibration can break the crankshaft if the engine is used for racing. Check the internet or race parts suppliers for the recommended balancer to use. See Figure 35.16. Refer to Figure 35.15, the hub of the harmonic balancer is attached to the front of the crankshaft. The elastomer, or rubber, between the inertia ring and the center hub allows the absorption of crankshaft firing impulses. Refer to Figure 35.16, a General Motors high-performance balancer used on a race engine. Externally and internally balanced engines. Definition: most crankshaft balancing is done during manufacturing. Holes are drilled in the counterweight to lighten and improve balance. Sometimes these holes are drilled after the crankshaft is installed in the engine. Some manufacturers are able to control casting quality so closely that counterweight machining for balancing is not necessary. Engine manufacturers balance an engine in one of two ways. Externally balanced: weight is added to the harmonic balancer, or vibration damper, and flywheel or the flex plate. Internally balanced: all rotating parts of the engine are individually balanced, including the harmonic balancer and flywheel, or flex plate. For example, the 350-inch 3 Chevrolet V8 is internally balanced, whereas the 400-inch 3 Chevrolet V8 uses an externally balanced crankshaft. The harmonic balancer used on an externally balanced engine has additional weight. Primary and secondary engine balance. Primary and secondary balance: anything that rotates will vibrate. This means that an engine will vibrate during operation, although engine designers attempt to reduce the vibration as much as possible. Primary balance: when pistons move up and down in the cylinders, they create a primary vibration, which is a strong low-frequency vibration. A counterweight on the crankshaft opposite the piston and rod assembly helps reduce this vibration. An inline four-cylinder engine has very little primary vibration, because as two pistons are traveling upward in the cylinders, two are moving downward at the same time, effectively canceling out primary unbalances. See Figure 35.17. Secondary balance. Four-cylinder engines, however, suffer from a vibration at twice engine speed. This is called a secondary vibration, which is a weak high-frequency vibration caused by a slight difference in the inertia of the pistons at top dead center, compared to bottom dead center. This vibration is most noticeable at high engine speeds, especially if the engine size is greater than 2 liters. The larger the displacement of the engine, the larger the bore and the heavier the pistons contribute to the buzzing-type secondary vibration. See Figure 35.18. Refer to Figure 35.17. In a four-cylinder engine, the two outside pistons move upward at the same time as the inner pistons move downward, which reduces primary unbalance. Refer to Figure 35.18, primary and secondary vibrations in relation to piston position. Balance shafts. Purpose and function. Some engines use balance shafts to dampen normal engine vibrations. Dampening is reducing the vibration to an acceptable level. A balance shaft that is turning at crankshaft speed, but in the opposite direction, is used on a three-cylinder inline engine. Weights on the ends of the balance shaft move in a direction opposite to the direction of the end piston. When the piston goes up, the weight goes down, and when the piston goes down, the weight goes up. This reduces the end-to-end rocking action on a three-cylinder inline engine. Another type of balance shaft system is designed to counterbalance vibrations on a four-stroke, four-cylinder engine. Two shafts are used, and they turn at twice the engine speed. In most applications, both shafts rotate in the same direction and are driven by a chain or gear off the crankshaft. Counterweights on the balance shafts are positioned to oppose the natural rolling action of the engine, as well as the secondary vibrations caused by the piston and rod movements. See Figure 35.19. Refer to Figure 35.19, two counter-rotating balance shafts used to counterbalance the vibrations of a four-cylinder engine. Refer to Figure 35.20. This General Motors four-cylinder engine uses two balance shafts driven by a chain at the rear of the crankshaft. Balance shaft applications. Balance shafts are commonly found on the larger displacement, over 2 liters, four-cylinder automotive engines. Most four-cylinder engines larger than 2.2 liters, or 2.3 quarts, use balance shafts. These are often located underneath the crankshaft. See Figure 35.20. Since the late 1980s, both Ford and General Motors added a balance shaft to many of their V6 engines. These 90-degree V6 engines use a split crank journal to create an even firing arrangement, but these engines suffer from forces that cause the engine to rock back and forth. This motion is called a rocking couple and is dampened by the use of a balance shaft. See Figure 35.21. The addition of balance shafts makes a big improvement in the smoothness of the engine. In V6 engines, the improvement is most evident during idling and low-speed operation, whereas in the four-cylinder engines, balance shafts are especially helpful at higher engine speeds. The V6 engines that use a 60-degree design do not create a rocking couple and, therefore, do not need a balance shaft. Crankshaft service. Crankshaft visual inspection. Crankshaft damage includes worn journals, scored bearing journals, bends or warp edge, cracks, thread damage, flywheel flange or front snout, and worn front or rear seal surfaces. Damaged shafts must be reconditioned or replaced. The crankshaft is one of the most highly stressed engine parts. The stress on the crankshaft increases by 4 times every time the engine speed doubles. Any sign of a crack is a cause to reject the crankshaft. Most cracks can be seen during a close visual inspection. Crankshafts should also be checked with Magniflux, which will highlight tiny cracks that would lead to failure. Bearing journal scoring is a common crankshaft defect. Scoring appears as scratches around the bearing journal surface. Generally, there is more scoring near the center of the bearing journal, as shown in Figure 35.22. Crankshaft journals should be inspected for nicks, pits, or corrosion. Roughness and slight bends in journals can be corrected by grinding the journals. Note: if your fingernail catches on a groove when rubbed across a bearing journal, the journal is too rough to reuse and must be reground. Another test is to rub a copper penny across the journal. If any copper remains on the crankshaft, it must be reground. Refer to Figure 35.21. Many 90-degree V6 engines use a balance shaft to reduce vibrations and effectively cancel a rocking motion, or rocking couple, that causes the engine to rock front to back. Refer to Figure 35.22, scored connecting rod bearing journal. Measuring the crankshaft, crankshafts should be carefully measured to determine the following. Size of main and rod bearing journals compared to factory specifications. Each journal checked for out of round condition, and Each journal checked for taper. See figures 35-23 and 35-24. Crankshaft grinding, crankshaft journals that have excessive scoring, out of round, or taper should be reground. The typical procedure includes the following steps. Step 1. Crankshafts may require straightening before grinding. Step 2. Both crankshaft ends are placed in rotating heads on one style of crankshaft grinder. Step 3. The main bearing journals are ground on the centerline of the crankshaft. Step 4. The crankshaft is then offset in the two rotating heads just enough to make the crankshaft main bearing journal centerline rotate around the centerline of the crankpin. The crankshaft will then be rotating around the crankpin centerline. The journal on the crankpin is reground in this position. Step 5. The crankshaft must be repositioned for each different crankpin center. In another type of crankshaft grinder, the crankshaft always turns on the main bearing centerline. The grinding head is programmed to move in and out as the crankshaft turns to grind the crankpin bearing journals. Crankshafts are usually ground to the following undersize: 0.010 of an inch, or 0.25 mm, 0.020 of an inch, or 0.51 mm, or 0.030 of an inch, or 0.76 mm, the finished journal should be accurately ground to size with a smooth surface finish. The radius of the fillet area on the sides of the journal should also be the same as the original. See figure 35-25. Refer to figure 35-23. All crankshaft journals should be measured for diameter, as well as taper and out of round. Refer to figure 35-24. Check each journal for taper and out of round. Crankshaft polishing. The journal is polished after grinding, using a 320 grit polishing cloth and oil to remove the fine metal or fuzz remaining on the journal. This fuzz feels smooth when the shaft turns in its direction. As the shaft turns in the opposite direction, the fuzz feels like a fine milling cutter. Polishing removes this fuzz. The crankshaft is rotated in its normal direction of rotation so that the polishing cloth can remove the fuzz. This leaves a smooth shaft with the proper surface finish. Most crankshaft grinders grind in the direction opposite of rotation and then polish in the same direction as rotation. See figure 35-26. The crankshaft oil passages should be cleaned and the journals tagged with the undersize dimensions. Refer to figure 35-25. The rounded fillet area of the crankshaft is formed by the corners of the grinding stone. Refer to figure 35-26. An excessively worn crankshaft can be restored to useful service by welding the journals and then machining them back to the original size. Welding a crankshaft. Sometimes it is desirable to salvage a crankshaft by building up a bearing journal and then grinding it to the original journal size. This is usually done by either electric arc welding or a metal spray. See figure 35-27. Stress relieving the crankshaft. The greatest area of stress on a crankshaft is the fillet area. Stress relief is achieved by shot pinning the fillet area of the journals with number 320 steel shot. This strengthens the fillet area and helps to prevent the development of cracks in this area. Gray duct tape is commonly used to cover the journal to prevent damage to the rest of it. Stress relief procedures are usually performed after the grinding and polishing of the crankshaft. Storing crankshafts. All crankshafts should be coated with oil to keep them from rusting, and stored vertically until time for engine assembly. All crankshafts should be placed on the floor vertically to help prevent warping due to gravity. See figure 35-28. Refer to figure 35-27. All crankshafts should be polished after grinding. Both the crankshaft and the polishing cloth are being revolved. Refer to figure 35-28. Crankshafts should be stored vertically to prevent possible damage or warpage. This clever bench-mounted tray for crankshafts not only provides a safe place to store crankshafts, but is also out of the way and cannot be accidentally tipped. Engine bearings. Introduction. Engine bearings are the main supports for the major moving parts of any engine. Engine bearings are important for the following reasons. Reason 1. The clearance between the bearings and the crankshaft is a major factor in maintaining the proper oil pressure throughout the engine. Most engines are designed to provide the maximum protection and lubrication to the engine bearings above all else. Reason 2. Engine durability relies on bearing life. Bearing failure usually results in immediate engine failure. Reason 3. Engine bearings are designed to support the operating loads of the engine and, with a lubricant, provide minimum friction. This must be achieved at all designed engine speeds. The bearings must be able to operate for long periods of time, even when small foreign particles are in the lubricant. Refer to figure 35-29. The two halves of a plane bearing meet at the parting faces. Types of bearings. Most engine bearings are one of two types. Type 1 is a plain bearing, and Type 2 is a sleeve bearing. See Figure 35-29. Most bearing halves, or shells, do not have uniform thickness. The wall thickness of most bearings is largest in the center, called the bearing crown. The bearing thickness tapers to a thinner measurement at each parting line. See Figure 35-30. The tapered wall keeps bearing clearances close at the top and bottom of the bearing, which are the more loaded areas, allowing more oil flow at the sides of the bearing. Both need a constant flow of lubricating oil. In automotive engines, the lubricating system supplies oil to each bearing continuously when the engine runs. Bearings and journals only wear when the parts come in contact with each other or when foreign particles are present. Oil enters the bearing through the oil holes and grooves. It spreads into a smooth wedge-shaped oil film that supports the bearing load. Bearing materials. Three materials are used for automobile engine bearings: Babbitt, copper lead alloy, and aluminum. A layer of the bearing materials that is 0.01 to 0.02 of an inch or 0.25 to half a millimeter thick is applied over a low carbon steel backing. An engine bearing is called a bearing shell, which is a steel backing with a surface coating of bearing material. The steel provides support needed for the shaft load. The bearing material meets the rest of the bearing operating requirements. Babbitt. Babbitt is the oldest automotive bearing material. Isaac Babbitt first formulated this material in 1839. An excellent bearing material, it was originally made from a combination of lead, tin, and antimony. Lead and tin are alloyed with small quantities of copper and antimony to give it the required strength. Babbitt is still used in applications in which material is required for soft shafts running under moderate loads and speeds. It will work with occasional borderline lubrication and oil starvation without failure. Trimetal. Copper lead alloy is a stronger and more expensive bearing material than Babbitt. It is used for intermediate and high-speed applications. Tin, in small quantities, is often alloyed with the copper lead bearings. This bearing material is most easily damaged by corrosion from acid accumulation in the engine oil. Corrosion results in bearing journal wear as the bearing is eroded by the acids. Many of the copper lead bearings have an overlay, or third layer, of metal. This overlay is usually of Babbitt. Babbitt overlaid bearings have high fatigue strength, good conformity, good embeddability, and good corrosion resistance. The overplated bearing is a premium bearing. It is also the most expensive because the overplating layer, from 0.0005 to 0.001 of an inch, or 0.0125 to 0.025 millimeters, thick, is put on the bearing with an electroplating process. The layers of bearing material on a bearing shell are illustrated in Figure 35-31. Aluminum. Aluminum was the last of the three materials to be used for automotive bearings. Automotive bearing aluminum has small quantities of tin and silicone alloyed with it. This makes a stronger but more expensive bearing than either Babbitt or copper lead alloy. Most of its bearing characteristics are equal to or better than those of Babbitt and copper lead. Aluminum bearings are well suited to high speed, high load conditions and do not contain lead, which is a benefit to the environment both at the manufacturing plant and for the technician who may be exposed to the bearings. Refer to Figure 35-30, bearing wall thickness is not the same from the center to the parting line. This is called eccentricity and is used to help create an oil wedge between the journal and the bearing. Refer to Figure 35-31, typical 2- and 3-layer engine bearing inserts showing the relative thickness of the various materials. Bearing manufacturing. Modern automotive engines use precision insert type bearing shells, sometimes called half-shell bearings. The bearing is manufactured to very close tolerance so that it will fit correctly in each application. The bearing, therefore, must be made from precisely correct materials under closely controlled manufacturing conditions. Figure 35-32 shows the typical bearing types found in most engines. Bearing sizes. Bearings are usually available in standard size, and in measurements 0.010, 0.020, and 0.030 of an inch under size. See Figure 35-33. Even though the bearing itself is thicker for use on a machined crankshaft, the bearing is referred to as undersize because the crankshaft journals are undersize. Factory bearings may be available in 0.0005 of an inch, or 0.01 millimeters, or 0.001 of an inch, or 0.03 millimeters, undersize for precision fitting of a production crankshaft. Before purchasing bearings, be sure to use a micrometer to measure all main and connecting rod journals. Replacement bearings are also available in 0.001, 0.002, and 0.003 inch, to allow the technician to achieve the proper bearing clearance without needing to machine the crankshaft. Refer to Figure 3532, typical bearing shell types found in modern engines, Figure A, half shell thrust bearing, Figure B, upper main bearing insert, Figure C, lower main bearing insert, Figure D, full round type camshaft bearing. Refer to Figure 3533, bearings are often marked with an undersized dimension. This bearing is used on a crankshaft with a ground journal that is 0.020 of an inch, or 0.76 millimeters, smaller in diameter than the stock size. Bearing loads, the forces on the engine bearings vary with engine speed and load. On the intake stroke, the inertia force is opposed by the force of drawing in the air-fuel mixture. On the compression and power strokes, there is also an opposing force on the rod bearings. On the exhaust stroke, however, there is no opposing force to counteract the inertia force of the piston coming to a stop at top dead center, or TDC. The result is a higher force load on the bottom rod bearing due to inertia at TDC of the exhaust stroke. These forces tend to stretch the big end of the rod in the direction of rod movement. 1. As engine speed, or RPM, increases, rod bearing loads decrease because of the balancing of inertia and opposing loads. 2. As engine speed, or RPM, increases, the main bearing loads increase. Note, this helps explain why engine blocks with 4-bolt main bearing supports are only needed for high engine speed stability. 3. Because the loads on bearings vary and affect both rod and main bearings, it is generally recommended that all engine bearings be replaced at one time. Bearing fatigue, bearings tend to flex or bend slightly under changing loads. This is especially noticeable in reciprocating engine bearings. Bearing metals, like other metals, tend to fatigue and break after being flexed or bent a number of times. Flexing starts fatigue, which shows up as fine cracks in the bearing surface because the bearing material became work hardened. These cracks gradually deepen almost to the bond between the bearing metal and the backing metal. The cracks then cross over and intersect with each other. In time, this will allow a piece of bearing material to fall out. The length of time before fatigue will cause failure is called the fatigue life of the bearing. See Figure 3534. Bearing conformability, the ability of bearing materials to creep or flow slightly to match shaft variations is called conformability. The bearing conforms to the shaft during the engine break-in period. In modern automobile engines, there is little need for bearing conformability or break-in, because automatic processing has achieved machining tolerances that keep the shaft very close to the design size. Bearing embeddability, engine manufacturers have designed engines to produce minimum crankcase deposits. This has been done by providing them with oil filters, air filters, and closed crankcase ventilation systems that minimize contaminants. Still, some foreign particles get into the bearings. The bearings must be capable of embedding these particles into the bearing surface so that they will not score the shaft. To fully embed the particle, the bearing material gradually works across the particle, completely covering it. The bearing property that allows it to do this is called embeddability. See Figure 3535. Bearing damage resistance. Under some operating conditions, the bearing will be temporarily overloaded. This will cause the oil film to break down and allow the shaft metal to come in contact with the bearing metal. As the rotating crankshaft contacts the bearing high spots, the spots become hot from friction. The friction causes localized hot spots in the bearing material that seize or weld to the crankshaft. The crankshaft then breaks off particles of the bearing material and pulls the particles around with it, scratching or scoring the bearing surface. Bearings have a characteristic called score resistance. It prevents the bearing materials from seizing to the shaft during oil film breakdown. Byproducts of combustion form acids in the oil. The bearing's ability to resist attack from these acids is called corrosion resistance. Corrosion can occur over the entire surface of the bearing. This will remove material and increase the oil clearance. It can also leach or eat into the bearing material, dissolving some of the bearing material alloys. Either type of corrosion will reduce bearing life. Refer to Figure 3534, work-hardened bearing material becomes brittle and cracks, leading to bearing failure. Refer to Figure 3535, bearing material covers foreign material, such as dirt, as it embeds into the bearing. Bearing clearance. Importance of proper clearance, the bearing to journal clearance may be from 0.0005 to 0.0025 of an inch, or 0.025 to 0.06 millimeters, depending on the engine. Doubling the journal clearance will allow more than 4 times more oil to flow from the edges of the bearing. The oil clearance must be large enough to allow an oil film to build up, but small enough to prevent excess oil leakage, which would cause loss of oil pressure. A large amount of oil leakage at one of the bearings would starve other bearings farther along in the oil system. This would result in the failure of the oil-starved bearings. Checking bearing clearance. Bearing oil clearance can be checked in the following ways. 1. Using plastic gauge between the crankshaft journal and the bearing. The thin plastic-like strip material will deform, depending on the clearance. 2. Measuring the crankshaft journal diameter and the inside diameter of the bearing as it is installed and subtracting the two measurements. The difference is the bearing clearance. Bearing spread and crush. The bearing design also includes bearing spread and crush. See figure 35-36. Bearing spread. The bearing shell has a slightly larger arc than the bearing housing. This difference, called bearing spread, makes the shell 0.005 to 0.02 of an inch, or 0.125 to half a millimeter, wider than the housing bore. Spread holds the bearing shell in the housing while the engine is being assembled. Bearing crush. When the bearing is installed, each end of the bearing shell is slightly above the parting surface. When the bearing cap is tightened, the ends of the two bearing shells touch and are forced together. This force is called bearing crush. Crush holds the bearing in place and keeps the bearing from turning when the engine runs. Crush must exert a force of at least 12,000 psi, or 82,740 kilopascals, at 250 degrees Fahrenheit, or 121 degrees Celsius, to hold the bearing securely in place. A stress of 40,000 psi, or 275,790 kilopascals, is considered maximum to avoid damaging the bearing or housing. See figure 35-37. Bearing shells that do not have enough crush may rotate with the shaft. The result is called a spun bearing. See figure 35-38. Bearing tang. A tang or lip helps locate the bearing shell in the housing. When the bearing clearance and crush have been worn or destroyed, the bearing can spin, thus creating catastrophic failure. The tang often helps prevent this from occurring. See figure 35-39. Many newer engines do not use a tang on the bearing. Always check service information for the exact bearings and procedures to use for the engine being serviced. Replacement bearings should be of a quality as good as or better than that of the original bearings. The replacement bearings must also have the same oil holes and grooves. Refer to figure 35-36, bearing spread and crush. Refer to figure 35-37. Bearings are thinner at the parting line faces to provide crush relief. Caution, some bearings may have oil holes in the top shell only. If these are installed incorrectly, no oil will flow to the connecting or main rods, resulting in instant engine failure. To help the oil spread across the entire bearing, some bearings use an oil groove. See figure 35-40. Refer to figure 35-38, spun bearing. The lower cap bearing has rotated under the upper rod bearing. Refer to figure 35-39, the tang, or lug, and slot help index the bearing in the bore. Frequently asked question. Why do some bearings have a tang and others do not? Many newer engines are being built without a bearing locating tang, or lug. The tang is used to place the bearing shell in the correct location over the bearing journal. If an engine does not have tang, the technician needs to carefully locate the bearing to make sure that the oil hole aligns with the housing, as well as to prevent interference between the edge of the bearing and crankshaft, or fillet area. Deleting the tang from the bearing and the required notch in the housing reduce the amount of machining required, which helps reduce cost of the engine manufacture. Refer to figure 35-40. Many bearings are manufactured with a groove down the middle to improve the oil flow around the main journal. Modified engines have more demanding bearing requirements, and, therefore, usually require a higher quality bearing to provide satisfactory service. Camshaft bearings. Types of camshaft bearings. The camshaft in pushrod engines rotates and sleeve bearings that are pressed into bearing bores within the engine block. Overhead camshaft bearings may be one of two sleeve type bushings, depending on the design of the bearing supports. Type 1, full round bearings, and Type 2, split type, or half shell, bearings. The split type bearing has direct contact with aluminum saddles integral with the head, depending on the design of the bearing supports. The integral aluminum head bearing design often requires the replacement of the entire cylinder head in the event of bearing failure from lack of lubrication. In pushrod engines, the cam bearings are installed in the block. See figure 35-41. Refer to Figure 35-41 cam and block engine support the camshaft with sleeve type bearings. Refer to Figure 35-42, camshaft bearings must be installed correctly so that oil passages are not blocked. Camshaft bearing installation, the best rule of thumb to follow is to replace the cam bearings whenever the main bearings are replaced. The replacement cam bearings must have the correct outside diameter to fit snugly in the cam bearing bores of the block. They must have the correct oil holes and be positioned correctly. See Figure 35-42. Cam bearings must also have the proper inside diameter to fit the camshaft bearing journals. Details regarding cam bearings include the following. In many engines, each cam bearing is a different size. The largest is in the front and the smallest is in the rear. The cam bearing journal size must be checked and each bearing identified before assembly is begun. The location of each new cam bearing can be marked on the outside of the bearing with a felt tip marker to help avoid mixing up bearings. Marking in this way will not affect the bearing size or damage the bearing in any way. Many vehicle manufacturers specify that the cam bearings should be installed dry, meaning, not oiled, to prevent the cam bearing from moving, or spinning, after installation. If the cam bearing was oiled, the rotation of the camshaft could cause the cam bearing to rotate and block oil holes that lubricate the camshaft. Many aluminum cylinder heads have integral cam bearings that are not replaceable. The entire cylinder head may need to be replaced if a lubrication problem occurs to the cam bearings. Camshaft bearings used on overhead camshaft engines may be either full round or split, depending on the engine design. See Figure 35-43. Always follow the installation tool instructions when installing cam bearings. Refer to Figure 35-43. Some overhead camshaft engines use split bearing inserts. Review questions. Question 1. How many degrees of crankshaft rotation are there between cylinder firings on an inline 4-cylinder engine, an inline 6-cylinder engine, and a V8 engine? Question 2. What is the difference between primary and secondary balance? Question 3. What are the types of engine bearing materials? Question 4. What is the difference between bearing crush and bearing spread? Question 5. Why is it important that crankshafts be stored vertically? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A typical V8 engine crankshaft has how many main bearings? A. 3. B. 4. C. 5. D. 7. Question 2. A 4-cylinder engine fires one cylinder at every how many degrees of crankshaft rotation? A. 27. B. 180. C. 120. D. 90. Question 3. A split crankshaft is a crankshaft that A. is externally balanced. B. is internally balanced. C. has offset main bearing journals. D. has offset rod journals. Question 4. Which of the following is not true of a fully counterweighted crankshaft? A. It is the smoothest running type. B. It has the most durable design. C. It is the least expensive to manufacture. D. It is the heaviest type. Question 5. Which of the following causes primary vibrations in an engine? A. Harmonic balancer. B. Pistons. C. Flex plate. D. Flywheel. Question 6. A balance shaft used in a 90-degree V6 engine is used to correct which of these types of force? A. Primary vibration. B. Secondary vibration. C. Rocking couple. D. Rolling couple. Question 7. If any crankshaft is ground, it must also be A. shot peened. B. Chrome plated. C. polished. D. externally balanced. Question 8. Typical journal to bearing clearance is A. 0.00015 to 0.00018 of an inch. B. 0.0005 to 0.0025 of an inch. C. 0.15 to 0.25 of an inch. D. 0.02 to 0.035 of an inch. Question 9. Bearing, blank, occurs when a bearing shell is slightly above the parting surface of the bearing cap. A. Overlap. B. Crush. C. Cap lock. D. Interference fit. Question 10. In what type of engines are the cam bearings installed in the block? A. Overhead cam. B. Rotary. C. Two-stroke. D. Pushrod. End of chapter 35.